Chair, we'd like to begin by thanking the friends of the Chair for their work, and we'd also like to thank the delegations, such as Kazakhstan, who have presented valuable working documents that enrich our discussions today. We would like to make some general comments to start with, and then we will refer to the non-paper of the friends of the Chair and some proposals. Chairman, Article 6 of the Convention delegates to the Security Council the responsibility of states parties to the Convention to act in case of a violation of the instrument. However, the Security Council is not mandated by the Charter of the United Nations to verify compliance with arms controls agreements or to take action against those who violate such agreements. It is only when the Security Council determines that a situation created by a violation poses a threat to international peace and security that it can then act. And this must be done in accordance and in full compliance with the legal precepts that are set forth in the UN Charter. The mechanisms established in the Convention for ensuring compliance have proven to be of limited effectiveness. Isolated or partial proposals and initiatives do not contribute to strengthening the Convention in all its aspects, nor do they commit all states' parties equally to common and multilaterally agreed-upon objectives. Some of the initiatives presented in the framework of the BWC by some states' parties, with a view to achieving institutionalization of the Convention, have sufficient merit to be discussed, and they do constitute a valid starting point for future negotiations. In this regard, we take note of the proposal submitted by Kazakhstan on the establishment of an international agency on biological security, and we also note the most recent changes that have been made, including changes to the name of the agency itself. We appreciate the evolution of the paper, which has been based on the development of discussions within this group and also on some of the views expressed on the proposal. Chairman, the adoption of a multilateral, non-discriminatory, and legally binding protocol with a verification regime that, in a balanced and comprehensive manner, institutionalizes the Convention remains our priority, and in our view, it also remains the solid basis for any large-scale organizational arrangement as ensuring compliance for all of the Convention, which is something we are very much in favor of. Chairman, concerning your friend's non-paper, we'd like to, first of all, once again reiterate our appreciation. We understand that their work has a very high level of interdependence and transversality. Now, although form follows function, it is clear that the results of the work on institutional strengthening will be determined by the substantive agreements we make on international cooperation, verification and compliance, review of scientific and technological advances, and all the other areas of discussion within this working group. In this regard, we can understand that the financial costs for the moment are focused on international cooperation and science and technology. However, we call for greater efforts to be made in order to also outline the organizational, financial, and institutional implications of the proposals of states and also of the different options on the table in relation to the mechanisms and particularly their structures. We are concerned that this text, by taking as its the most recent proposal of the Friends of the Chair on international cooperation, is not projecting the costs of a cooperation advisory group. It is therefore failing to consider the hybrid structure that so many delegations are actually calling for to take place outside of the meeting of states parties. We consider that such forecasts and costs would also be useful information for states parties, especially considering that, as has already been indicated, this would not imply any additional financial cost, but it would allow for the issue of international cooperation to be given the proper status it deserves. Finally, we have a question, and we would be very grateful if this question could be answered by the Friends of the Chair during the presentation. According to the text, non-meeting servicing costs include provisional costs for supporting participation of experts in the limited size structures. We would therefore like to inquire why, in the case of the International Cooperation Mechanism and the ICA Steering Group, why are no non-meeting servicing costs being projected or forecast here? Thank you. Thank you, Cuba.